My wife and I, we were set back on deputation during some of these corona months, and we finally were able to get back on deputation in the middle of May, and we headed out towards New Mexico and Arizona and had several meetings out in that area, just some beautiful parts of the country, and just a time for me to reflect on how great God's been to my wife and I on deputation in our ministry, and what a God we serve. And so I want to sing a song to you tonight, How Great Thou Art, and just think about the words tonight. Amen.
I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, thou art, how great thou art. Du großer Gott, wenn ich die Welt betrachte, die du geschaffen durch dein Allmachtswort, wenn ich auf jene Wesen achte, die du regierst und lehrest fort und fort, dann jaust mein Herz dir großer Herrscher zu, wie groß bist du, wie groß bist du, dann jaust mein Herz dir groß Herrscher zu, wie groß bist du, wie groß bist du. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Shipman. What a blessing that is. Praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God. Amen. He's still on the throne. He's still in control of everything. Boy, it's good to be here tonight. Thank you, Brother Angel, for the invitation to come here. 25 years ago, I think I was 6 years old at the time when we came. And I like that he said I wasn't an old man. I love that. And praise the Lord for that. I appreciate your pastor. He's been just a mentor, just a spiritual guidance to me over the years. There's times I've called him, just talked to him about things, and yeah, I appreciate your pastor and his wife. They've been a blessing. Thank you very much for just being there in times in my life and just being an encouragement to me, and I appreciate that. You ought to thank the Lord for your pastor. He didn't bring me in to say that. I'm just telling you, you ought to be thankful. You've got a man of God here, And I appreciate that. When he comes to our church, I hope he says no. Brother Angel's a good friend. I appreciate him and thank the Lord for that. Boy, the Raritans have been a blessing to Bella Vista Baptist Church also. God's been good to us when they came there. Brother Miss Raritan just been a blessing working there, and I love them and good friends and serving the Lord together. What a blessing that is. If you take your Bibles, go to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2 tonight. And I love missions conferences. It's a time where we can refocus on what's important, and I believe missions is important. I believe that missions is definitely something that should not be put on the back burner. Just once a year we think about it. It's all the time. It's what God wants us to do, be a part of missions. And so we're going to look at Mark chapter number 2 tonight. And I'm going to tell two stories in this. We're going to look at two stories from the Bible to get the message tonight. So as we get into it, the introduction is going to be a lot longer than the message, all right? So if you just stay with me, you just get through the introduction, then we'll get to the message there. And I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to us tonight. I appreciate the missionaries that are willing to go to the mission field. I count it an honor to be able to serve the Lord. Wherever God puts you, there's a reason God has you there. And I appreciate the missionaries that are going to the mission field. Pray for them. And I thank the Lord for this church being a mission-minded church for all those years supporting us there in Ukraine. I do remember the message Brother Angel preached when he came to our church. I was the one in the fog, not him. It helped our church, and I appreciate that very much. Came, just got off the plane, got up there and preached, and then got on a train, I believe, right after that, and took off and went and preached to camp and served the Lord there in Ukraine. That was great. If you found that in your Bible, let me ask you to stand tonight, if you're able to physically, Mark chapter number 2. And I'm going to read, if you'll just read silently, I'm going to start in verse number 1 and all the way down to verse number 12. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. Now, this was the hometown that Jesus not only grew up in Nazareth, but then later the Bible says he was in Capernaum. So he entered again into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I love that. That's not the message tonight, but just think about this. When it was packed out, Jesus knew what to do, and that was give them the scriptures. Give them the word of God. He preached the word. Sometimes we don't know what to do. Just go to the Bible, man. The Bible's got all the answers for every situation. And when it's packed out and there's problems, I don't know if they're quarantining or what they were doing there. He just preached the word at them, and that's good. That helps. Look at verse number 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, just for a second, not every time when somebody's sick is that because of sin. You know that. Not all the time. There's some that will say, if you're sick, that's because of sin. But it seems like in this case, it may have been sin, because that's what Jesus addressed right away. When he's there, he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But watch verse number 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. That's an amazing story. That's one of my favorite Bible stories, tearing up the roof and getting somebody to Jesus Christ. And that's just amazing to me. But Jesus, he proved his deity when he said, so that you'll know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God? Jesus has that power. He's God in the flesh. But look back with you, if you will, at verse number 4. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So these men, these 4, are standing on the roof here, and they're dropping their friend down to Jesus, and Jesus sees their faith, and he heals this man. I believe that man had faith as well, but I believe that Jesus saw what they were doing. Here's what I want to preach on tonight. I picture these 4 guys up on the roof there, And they're dropping this man down in to Jesus. And here's what I would say to him. Don't lose your balance. Okay? Don't lose your balance. Would you not think? I mean, if you're standing on a roof and you're holding somebody, don't lose your balance. We don't need five people in there to Jesus. Just get him down to Jesus. So, church, what I want to tell us tonight is don't lose your balance in getting people to Jesus Christ. I believe that a lot of people are losing their balance and people aren't getting to Jesus like they ought to. And I want to challenge us tonight in this area. Don't lose your balance. There's something that needs to be done. People need to get to Jesus Christ, and you and I can do something about it. And missions is the way we can do it. Would you pray with me and for me tonight that God would help us? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to be here with your people tonight. Lord, thank you for the Word of God and, Lord, for the challenge in Scripture as you spoke to my heart about this. Lord, I don't want to lose my balance as a Christian. Lord, I pray you would help Faith Baptist Church. I pray that you would help each person here tonight just to stay focused on what we've been doing, what we need to do, what should be done to get people to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. I promise to give you the praise for it. Lord, if there's someone not saved, I pray that tonight they would trust you as their Savior. Lord, as your people are here, I pray that we'd stay focused on what we need to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This is an interesting story to me. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite stories, because as I was growing up in a preacher's home, we had family devotions where we would act out Bible stories, and I always wanted to act out this story. I would love to have been able to bring one of my brothers to Jesus through the roof. I mean, just that would have been, to me, I probably would have dropped them, and they probably would have dropped me, so don't feel bad about what I would have done, because they would have done just the same to me, probably kicked me off the roof. But I love this story because they had a burden for their friend. We don't know if it's a relative. We don't know if it's a friend or an acquaintance. But they wanted to get their friend to Jesus Christ. So I picture this story as they get there to Capernaum. And maybe they even knew Jesus. And they bring this man in there. And the crowd was so great they couldn't get him in the house. So as they get to the house, they, of course, you know the story. They then find a way. Somehow we've got to get a means to get him to Jesus. And the Bible says that they go up on the roof and they tear off the roof. And when they broke up the tiles, they lowered him down to Jesus. Now, I don't know how high that ceiling was. I don't know how many feet it was. But let's just say it's a good 10 feet if it's a 10-foot ceiling. Somehow they got that man to Jesus. Somehow they knew that it's more than just us bringing him here and saying that, Jesus, now you, we've done our part. But they lowered him down there. They brought him to Jesus. When they got him in there, Jesus saw their faith. And then he told this man, he said, I want you to take up your bed and walk. And so the bed was not the heavy part. It was the man that was on the bed that was heavy. Are you with me tonight? That it wasn't that the bed was so heavy, because when the guy was healed, he grabbed his own bed and he walked off. It was the heavy part was the man. That was the one that was, he was paralyzed. He was a paraplegic, palsy. It was a sickness that disabled him. He wasn't able to walk. He wasn't able to function. And it could be that he had lost senses, and it could have been that he lost strength. Either way, he wasn't able to make it to Jesus on his own. So I tell you that story because as I read down through here, it says that when they had broken it up, they let down the bed. Notice that in your Bible, verse number 4, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They let down the bed. So there's four men. No longer are they carrying the bed on the handles or maybe grabbing the mattress, the couch that they had. The Bible says in Luke 5 it was a couch, so the bed. But somehow they're bringing it there to Jesus. And then now to let it down, they had to add to the bed. I believe that they weren't carrying it with ropes to begin with. But when they got it there to the roof, somehow they got some ropes and attached it to the bed to lower it down. I mean, if you're going 8 feet, 10 feet down, somehow there needs to be some means to get that bed down there to Jesus where it was at. So in my mind, I think they had to hold some ropes. Now, getting people to Jesus takes work. I believe that you and I, as we bring people to Jesus, as we tell people about Jesus, as we take the good news of the gospel, we've got to just admit it. It takes work. It's not an easy task. It's not something that you and I just say, well, I'll do it when it's convenient. But it is labor. It's saying, I will do this. I have a responsibility to do it. Sometimes it is easy. Thank God for those times when you knock on the door and somebody say, what must I do to be saved? I've been praying all day that a preacher would knock on my door. Praise God for that. But a lot of times it takes a lot of work. It takes giving up a Saturday or a Thursday or Tuesday or whenever you go out and say, I'm going to do it even though I'm tired and I don't feel like it. But it takes work. It's getting a bed to Jesus Christ. getting somebody that's sick, somebody that has a palsy. They're physically, maybe they're not sick physically, but spiritually they are sick. Can we admit that sin is a disease? It's more than a disease. It's spiritually, it makes a person incapable of ever being saved. There's not a person in this world that could ever do enough to get to heaven. These missionaries don't go to the mission field to make somebody a better person. They tell them about a person who can save their soul. That's what they're there doing. They're not there to teach them how to plant corn or to build houses or to get water, but to tell them how that Jesus Christ died for their sins. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And that's what every missionary is involved in. So as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, they're up on the roof. And if I was watching four guys on the roof lowering somebody down, I would think about the man that was coming down. But I might say, hey, don't lose your balance. Stay faithful in what you're doing and make sure that man gets all the way to Jesus. And so I want to challenge us tonight, and that is, don't lose your balance. Keep on lowering people to Jesus Christ. A bed would represent any ministry that you personally are involved in getting somebody to Jesus Christ. It might be the bus ministry. That's the bed that you're involved in. You've got your hand on some ropes and you've been lowering people. It may be for 20 years. It may be for 2 years. It may be you just started. It may be you've been faithful for a long time. Last year in our church in Bella Vista, there was a man who said, I've been on the bus route for 50 years. On that bus route. Praise the Lord. This year we had a lady in our church tell me, say, preacher, I've been teaching a girl's Sunday school class for 50 years in our church. That's a lot of beds that they've lowered down to Jesus. That's a lot of times they've been holding that. And I say, thank God they never lost their balance. They never said, I'm giving up, I'm dropping the rope. They just kept on lowering beds to Jesus Christ and telling people how to get there. I believe that everybody can be involved in this ministry. Everybody ought to be a soul winner. Everybody ought to say, I can do something. I might not be able to reach everybody, but there's somebody that I can get to Jesus Christ. There's somebody I can tell about Jesus. There's somebody I can witness to. When my dad staggered out of a bar September 6, 1969, there were two laymen in the church, not called to preach. They were not preachers in the church. They were just at a coffee shop. And they said, let's go witness to that drunk. And my dad got saved because somebody said, let's lower a bed down to Jesus Christ. Praise God. Somebody can do that. Everybody can do that. And I want to say tonight, don't lose your balance. Keep on lowering people to Jesus Christ. I believe that what's happened this year, 2020, has caused some to lose their balance. You say, man, preacher, we're here at Monday night and we're part of a missions conference and we're here and we're trying. Don't lose your balance. Keep on doing it. No matter what everybody else does, just keep your balance. Keep on lowering beds to Jesus Christ. Get a good grip on that rope and say, I've got to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. I've got to do my part. Don't lose your balance. I'm glad that as a 9-year-old boy, my dad stood up and preached. And my dad was a faithful and is a faithful preacher. I'm glad that my dad didn't just do it whenever it was popular or whenever there was a paycheck. He did a lot of times without a paycheck. But I'm glad he stood up and preached one night on a Wednesday night about Judas Iscariot. And as a 9-year-old boy, I sat back there and I heard the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my dad lowered my bed down to Jesus Christ. And I got saved. Praise the Lord for that. That as a 9-year-old boy, I put my faith in Jesus Christ and it changed my whole life. And praise God for that. Saved, saved, saved on my way to heaven. My dad didn't lose his balance. I'm just saying tonight, thank God for those that haven't lost their balance. They haven't dropped the rope. They haven't given up. They haven't said it's not worth it. They've held on to it. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 9. Here's the second story I want us to look at. Acts chapter number 9, the story of Saul of Tarsus, who later became known as Paul, was probably the greatest missionary that the New Testament church age has known. Preached the gospel in the regions beyond. At that time, it was the known world. He went everywhere. He wasn't confined to one ethnicity, one language, whatever people would say, just go there. He wanted everybody to hear the gospel, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. Can I say that ought to be our goal today? Everybody needs the gospel. Don't get so narrow-minded that it's just my little clique. That's who I'm going to reach. No, everybody. You can't take the gospel to the wrong person. Amen. Everybody needs to be saved. And so as I read in Acts chapter number 9, Saul, they're in Damascus. They're trying to kill him because of him turning. Boy, that's a testimony. He gets saved and they're going to kill him. You know this story. Look at verse number 25. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32 and 33, again, it tells us that he was let down the wall in a basket. You know that story. You're familiar with it. Here's how I'm going to tie them together tonight. Don't lose your balance when you're letting down the beds. getting people to Jesus. And don't lose your balance when you're holding the baskets for the missionaries to go to the mission field. The Christian life is about balance. And here's how we can get off balance sometimes is we can become so focused on world missions and sending missionaries around the world that we stop lowering the beds down. We can also lose our balance where all we focus about is our church and our world and our little ministry here, and we forget about mission fields that need somebody to go and to preach the gospel. And so somebody had to stand there on that roof. The four men had to hold the ropes and say, this man is a palsy man. He cannot get up on his own, so I'm going to do what I can physically to get him to Jesus. I'm going to hold the ropes so he can get to Jesus and hold the bed. And then some Christians had to say, but we can't go to Philippi, and we can't go to Ephesus, and we can't go to Corinth and Thessalonica, and we can't go around the world. But Saul's ready to go, and Paul's ready to go, and we'll hold the basket so he can go and preach the gospel. Don't lose your balance. Whether there's a bed or a basket, whether there's a palsy or a Paul, God needs some people that will be willing to hold the ropes. Here's what I want to challenge us on tonight is that everybody ought to have a rope in their hand, and you ought not to just have one, you ought to have both of them. Let me say this, that as a Christian, you ought not to just say, well, I'm going to send money to Germany and I'm going to send it to Australia and I'll send it to China, but I'll never tell somebody about Jesus Christ. No, no, no. You need to bring people to Jesus yourself. I won't work on a bus route, but boy, I'll give money so somebody else can go. No, 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 wait. That doesn't alleviate your responsibility just by giving to missions. You've got to hold the bed also. You've got to say, I'm going to be faithful and I'm not going to lose my balance. I've got to be a witness on the job. I've got to be a witness when I go out knocking doors. I've got to have a ministry. And the Church of Jesus Christ does not need to sit down. We need to keep our balance and keep on giving beds to Jesus Christ. And then we also need to say, well, it's not just about our church and we got to reach our community and our loved ones. But, man, there are millions around the world that are dying. There are people that have never heard in German how great thou art. There are people that haven't heard it in Russian and they haven't heard it in Chinese and they haven't heard it in other languages. And you and I can say, well, Brother Paul, get in the basket. And while I'm holding the bed, I've got my balance still and I'm still walking with God and I'm going to do all I can. And I'm also going to do what I can to get a missionary to the mission field. And so when the pastor says, we're going to have a missions conference, I don't say, oh, no, another Brother Paul comes with his basket. What are we doing? I say, man, this helps me keep my balance. Praise God, another Brother Paul's coming, and I sure wish I could go to that mission field, but God's not giving me the green light, so what I'm going to do is, while I'm working this ministry, I'm going to keep in my hand this one, and I'm going to do beds and baskets. That's what my ministry is going to be, is beds and baskets, Paul and palsy. I'm going to give them to Jesus Christ because that can change lives. I believe where we've lost our balance sometimes in churches, and as a missionary, I was in a lot of good churches, a lot of faithful churches that supported us, and I thank God for that. But it bothers me that it seems like sometimes we've lost our balance so bad that we've just set it off to the side. And what churches have done is they've said, well, we'll just focus on one area. No, 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 wait. The Great Commission is both of them. It's both. We've got to do it ourselves and also send them. We've got to be involved. And I thought, what is it that causes us to lose our balance? A lot of times, almost all the time, when somebody loses their balance, it's an ear problem. It's something, it's an infection in the ear, vertigo or something. It's an inner ear problem that causes people to lose their balance. Can I say tonight that when we lose our balance spiritually, a lot of times it's because of what we've been listening to. It's what we've been hearing, and maybe somebody told us, well, God doesn't save souls like He used to. I don't know why you're running buses anymore, and I don't know why you're doing that anymore, and I believe that God's done. That was in the 70s, but it's not now. Can I tell you, we have the same God. He's still able to save. Amen. He's still able to save souls. And when I start listening to that as a preacher, and somebody comes and says, yeah, well, it won't work anymore, and then I start listening to it, I lose my balance, and I say, okay, well, we'll quit doing the beds. We'll just do the baskets, and we'll be a church that sends missionaries. And then somebody comes along and says, but man, the economy's going to go down. I mean, we're in 2020. I mean, this is the year of the COVID and the year of the bat and everything else. And man, you can't give the missions anymore. And I start listening to that and I say, you know what? You're right. I'm going to back up. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so what I say is, Lord, help me not to have an ear infection that caused me to lose my balance. There's people dependent on me as a Christian to get the gospel to them. So Lord, help me to hear what Your word says. You said, go into all the world and It's not a mistake that I'm born in this year for such a time as this. Praise God, what an opportunity we have. I'm glad I'm alive in 2020. I'm glad that God said, this is the year that you're serving me and this is where you're at. And I say, praise God, because God said, don't lose your balance. Keep on holding it and keep on doing what you're supposed to be doing. I wonder if sometimes we don't listen to noise and we listen to all this rumbling out there by people that don't know the Bible. And before long, people start saying, well, I can't do that anymore. Is that God's arms are short? He can't do it anymore? I believe that God can give. I believe God can bless. I believe if God lays an amount on your heart this week with faith promise and says, hey, there's some baskets that need to go and I'll give through you. I don't believe I ought to listen to whatever the rumble is out there on the radio. I ought to listen to what God says. I'm talking about an ear infection that sometimes causes us to lose our balance. So I want to give you real quickly tonight, I told you the introduction a little bit longer, just three things that we need to do if we're not going to lose our balance. This is what it's going to take. Everybody here ought to say, I want to have my balance. I want to hold the ropes for the beds, the basket. Well, I'm going to be committed. This year is going to be revival. It's not going to go backwards. It's not a backsliding year. It's a forward year. Onward marching. We're going forward for God. So what am I going to do to keep the balance? First of all, here's what it's going to take. It's going to take faith. Wow, imagine that. I said the point that this is a faith promise conference, and you could have guessed that. It's going to take faith. You know what faith is? It's just believing God is who He said He was. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If they got up on the roof and they believed that Jesus was able to heal their friend, it took faith. The Bible says that Jesus saw their faith. He knew that they believed that Jesus was able to make a difference in their life. You know why we sometimes don't go sowing and we don't believe He can really save? Why we don't witness like we ought to is we don't believe He's saving old sinners like we sang and almost sang three times tonight. Man, I was praise the Lord, keep on singing it. Why, God still saves old sinners. I believe He does. And it takes faith. It takes us to believe that. I believe God can still reach people through the bus ministry, the jail ministry, the nursing home ministry, all the ministries. And you ought to get behind your pastor and say, just put out the beds out there and I'll hold the rope and I'll do what we can. We've got to reach somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have faith. I believe God can do it. But I also come over here and don't lose my balance. And I say, and God, I don't know where it's going to come from. You laid an amount on my heart to hold another basket this year, to get another missionary to the mission field. And it just doesn't seem possible, but I know that with God all things are possible, and so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I have faith. It takes faith. I think we lose our balance when we lose our faith. I don't want to step out of the boat. I don't want to take a chance. I don't want to take a risk. I'll do it if I can calculate it and I can figure it out and say this is the way it is. But it takes faith on our part to say I'm going to hold the ropes, do what God told me to do because God's able. Not because I'm able, but because God's able. God's able to do it. It takes faith on our part. Let me give you another one, though. I believe what it takes for us to keep our balance, and that is it takes faithfulness. You see, watch this. When they're up on the roof and they get this brainstorm idea, I don't know who it was, but one of them said, okay, we've got to tear the roof off. That's always a great idea. Thank God for the ones that, you know, just let me tear somebody else's property up to get somebody to Jesus. All right, do it. Yeah, okay, just make sure you put it back. And they're up there on the roof. What if halfway down with this man going down, they said, that's about all I can take. I'm done. Man, I've done my part. Man, it's starting to burn my hands. Oh, wow, that's terrible. And they dropped it. It takes faithfulness all the way to the end to get people to Jesus. You see, sometimes we knock on a door, we witness to somebody, and they didn't get saved the first time. We give up on them. It takes faithfulness. Sometimes we're trying to disciple somebody, and they're not growing as fast as we think we ought to have led them in this discipleship, and they're not growing as fast, and so we just say, well, I'll just drop that band. No, it takes faithfulness. Keep working with people and keep loving them and keep telling them the gospel, and God's not done. God's wanting you to be faithful in that. Don't lose your balance. It takes faithfulness. A Sunday school teacher teaches 50 years and maybe can't look at a long list of people that have gone to the mission field and served the Lord, but God knows that, and God knows what that individual has done, and God wants us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Just be faithful. But also in the area of the beds, not only in the beds, but the baskets. Think about this. It takes faithfulness. Have you ever thought about this? That sometimes when you make a commitment in the missions conference that I'm going to give this amount, 2 or 3 months later, it takes faithfulness. Oh, no, wait, my faith is big and I've got faith and I'm going to do this. And then, but it's not just faith, it's faithfulness that if I made a commitment, I need to keep that commitment. Not just write it down and say, okay, well, God gave it. No, 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 that's a vow between me and God. And I'm saying, God, I'm not doing that just on a whim. I've prayed about it. That's what you have laid on my heart. And I want to give as you give through me that I'm going to give so somebody can go to a mission field. It takes faithfulness. Thank God for people who are faithful in their giving. And that's a missing thing today. Faithfulness is people are losing their balance on faithfulness. People are saying, oh, I've done it long enough, man. Preacher, I don't need to do it anymore. No, no, be faithful. Just be in your place, in season, out of season, all the time, everywhere. Just be faithful in it. Don't lose your balance. Beds and baskets. Just keep on being faithful in that. But not only faith and faithfulness. Let me give you another one, and that is, they didn't lower the bed down by themselves. It was born of four. There were four. And then when it says that the basket went down with Paul, that there were several that were there, they lowered him down. So it's plural. I don't know how many it was. It might have been two. It might have been four. It might have been more. I don't know. Paul was a small guy, I guess. So maybe two got it done. But there was more than one is what I'm trying to say. It takes fellowship on our part working together. See, here's what happens a lot of times in Christianity is we think, well, if I'm doing it all by myself, then it's not going to get done. You're not by yourself. There's others that are working with you. And when you and I are serving God, you need to be in your place because somebody else might be dependent on you to be that encouragement. Have faith in God, faithfulness. But then I look and if I drop my rope, that guy's hanging suspended in the air. I've got to do my part. I've got to work with somebody else. Teamwork. We've got to work together. Praise God for that. Somebody drives the bus, somebody runs to the door, somebody does the program, somebody teaches the Sunday school class, somebody's the usher, somebody sings in the choir, somebody plays the piano, somebody is doing something for God. Everybody, not everybody can do everything, but somebody does something. Everybody does a part. And as a team, a church works together and God gets the glory for it. And it's nobody saying, I'm the Diotrephes, I've got to have the preeminence. No, I'm just going to do whatever God gave me to do. If it's a rope holding the bed, I'll do it to the glory of God because I want Him to get the glory. And we're going to work together and praise God for it and give Him the glory for it. And so in the beds, when somebody gets saved and somebody walks down the aisle, it's like, that's my convert. No, there's probably a team of people that have worked on that person. Praise God. God be the glory for it. The preacher preached, the choir sang, the usher greeted his hand, somebody gave him a gospel tract, but he got saved and to God be the glory. It took a working effort together. So not just the bed, but then I come over here to the basket and can I tell you, it takes teamwork to get a missionary to the mission field. A missionary goes around on deputation 2 years and sometimes 3 years and trying to get his support. And it would be great if just one church could send him. But you know, it's even better that there are several churches supporting and several are praying for him. And they're joining together and it's teamwork. And that's what God's saying is, wait, I need some people that will be faithful to get them to the mission field. And a Faith Baptist Church or a Bella Vista Baptist Church or wherever else around America, they say, hey, I'll do my part. Watch when a church says, okay, we're dropping the ropes, we're not going to do it. That hurts a missionary to get to the field. So thank God for churches. Missionaries, thank God for churches like this that are faithful. And pray for more churches to jump in. But let's narrow it down from just churches. Let's look at individuals. That sometimes what we do collectively in a church is, well, if I quit, brother, whatever, deep pockets, he'll fill the void. He'll take care of it. No, no, no. God wants all of us to do our part. It's not me standing on my corner saying, you know what, my hands are burning, so I'm dropping the rope, and you better be strong enough, you pick up the slack. No, no, no. Everybody does what God lays on their heart to do. It takes a team effort together to work to get those beds and baskets to Jesus Christ. See, I think missions is, man, that's the heartbeat of God. But God doesn't just sit back and say, I want everybody in the foreign field to hear and nobody here. I believe He wants to reach people here in Bourbonnais, Kankakee, Chicago, Illinois, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I believe He wants, locally, wherever you're at, He wants you to reach them. But He also says, wait, now that you got that bed and you got a good grip on that, what are you going to do about the baskets that are going out there? Let me ask you, each one of you tonight, just a simple thought here. Don't lose your balance. You're the one standing up there on the roof and you've been lowering people to Jesus. Have you lost your balance? 2020 has been a time where you heard some things and your balance, your equilibrium's off and you're saying, I can't do it anymore. No, no, no. Get your balance back. Get in the Word of God. Hear. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Get your hearing back. Say, I'm going to hold the beds. I'm going to keep on doing it. Preacher, what new ministry can I start? Who cares about 2020? I want to do more to get more beds to Jesus. And God laid it on my heart. This is the new ministry God's calling me to do. I want to be involved in reaching people. Praise God for that. And then to mission, say, man, Lord, I know, man, I thought you gave a lot through me last year. Wow. God, what do you want to do this year? Let me hold that rope. I believe every one of us can do something. If you're on the wall tonight and you've been lowering missionaries down to Germany or to Australia or whatever, don't drop the rope. Keep on holding it. Don't lose your balance. For all those years that from 95 to we came back in 2014, 19 years, Faith Baptist supported us in Belarus and in Ukraine. I say thank you. I say thank you for holding that rope. And you might not have known all that was going on, but God knows. And every tract that was given out, everything, that's to your account. And you might say, man, I didn't know what the missionary was doing. And we watched these presentations. I don't even know them. I don't know what it is. But God knows what they're doing. And it's fruit to your account. And keep on holding that rope. So let me ask you tonight, what's in your hands? Do you have some ropes? And you need both of them to keep your balance. Don't put it all on one. Don't put it all on this one either. But say, Lord, help me to have my balance. Help me to be a balanced Christian, doing all I can for the glory of God. Don't lose your balance. This year, say, in missions, whatever it is, man, I want to follow God's leading in my life, and I want God to get the glory for everything. I believe God can do great things this year. In spite of all that's going on, all the political stuff and all that stuff, God can still get the glory. Amen? I believe God can do it. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Don't lose your balance. You're standing on the roof, don't lose your balance. You're standing on the wall, don't lose your balance. What's in your hand tonight? What are you doing for God? Get people to Jesus. Get a missionary to the mission field. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll work in this invitation. Just a simple thought, and I pray that each one would take it. Just do some self-inventory tonight and make sure that we're on balance, that we're doing what we ought to do. May you get the glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With our heads bowed as the piano begins to play. The invitation's open. Maybe you want to kneel at an altar, maybe just there at your seat, but don't waste this time. Maybe tonight you need to grab a rope. Maybe you need to say, my hands are empty. There's a lost loved one that I have a witness to. Grab a rope and a bed and get them to Jesus.
I'd never thought of that. Beds and baskets. That's a good thought. And you need to hold both. And he's right. Churches get very imbalanced. One direction or the other. But the churches that seem to have longevity somehow learn to maintain, stay faithful in the beds and the baskets at home and abroad. And I'm glad he brought up the subject of faith at a Faith Promise Missions conference. We had Dr. Mel Rutter back in the old building years and years ago, and he was probably approaching 80 years of age when he preached. And they will forget what he said at that conference more than once. He said, have you figured it out or have you faithed it in? Have you figured it out or have you faithed it in? Faith is not foolishness. It's not stepping out on nothing. Faith is stepping out on the promises of this book, regardless of the circumstances, taking God at His word. And I hope that you will ask the Lord what He would have you do about the baskets this year. What will you do? If you've never given to missions, you can give $12.50 a week. That is $50 a month. It won't quite support a missionary family. We take them home for $75, but it'd be quite a ways that way. $15 a month, $15 a week, $60 a month. You say, well, I don't know if I could do that. Pray about it. Don't figure it out. Faith it in. And you'd be surprised. You know, sometimes people have a pessimistic outlook. And they all, nobody gives that much. You'd be surprised at how much some people give on a weekly basis for missions. But then we don't focus everything on the basket and let the bed go. You know, if you let the bed go, there won't be anything for baskets after a while. So you got to keep the bed ministry going. You got to keep the bus ministry and the other ministries in the local area, bringing people to Jesus, and the two work together to do what the Lord told us to do. Take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. Very good, Brother Hudson. Very practical, helpful. Thank you. I'd never had that thought before, and I was blessed by that tonight. Very good.